make of the statement? What'd you make of the decision?
Well, I thought the decision was incredibly weak. It shows that they don't either have any leadership in Florida right now, or they don't trust the leadership. And for weeks now, we've kind of been saying, like, the only real arguments to give Billy Napier a fourth season are, A, there's an interim president, and the AD's also on the hot seat, or pretty close to the hot seat himself. So that's one. You have a weak leadership with leadership in transition. Is that really the time you make a coaching change? And then, B, he is a bit pricey to fire. That doesn't mean I don't think Florida could afford to fire him. I think they could. But if you can kick the can down the road another year and wait until you get some new leadership in place, do you do it? And I guess Florida has decided that they do it. I mean, anybody that's inspired by this, they have to be in the Sycophant Hall of Fame. Like, I don't think anybody, being realistic, expects that one more year out of Billy Napier is going to change the situation all that much. I mean, the schedule is going to be incredibly difficult again next season. Their recruiting class is horrible. They're probably going to pour some money into the transfer portal, but I also have a hard time believing that you're going to be able to buy some great roster out of the portal when, like, I mean, how inspired are your donors going to be right now to give you an Ohio State-like roster when they know they're going to get tapped on the shoulder about 9 months from now and say, hey, we need that buyout money after all, right? So, yeah, I mean, look, the record might be a game or two better next year, maybe. I don't know what it's going to end up as this year. With DJ Lagway's injury, they might be staring down the barrel of 4-8 or 5-7. So, yeah, maybe he wins an extra game or two next year. But for a fourth-year coach who's had three straight losing seasons, because this is going to end as a losing season, he'll have had three straight losing seasons. The program will have had four straight losing seasons. Even if he goes 7-5 next year, is that going to save his job? No, it's not. So it really just feels like delaying the inevitable. I think there are certain arguments to do that. It wouldn't be what I would do. I understand the arguments for it, but I don't think there's any argument that Billy Napier is going to get it done at Florida. You can make arguments why you shouldn't make this move now, but I don't think one of those arguments is giving Billy Napier one more year is going to make a lick of difference.
Blake, safe travels.
Okay, thanks, guys.
That is Blake Topmeyer, senior national college football columnist for the USA Today Sports Network. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the list. Got to get into Thursday night football. We got Grizzlies, Wizards tonight, and we've also got our cards. We'll do all that during hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. It's never too early to start thinking about the big game. And this November, Zen Sports, the new sports book in Tennessee, they've launched a brand new sweepstakes for all Tennessee customers. It's the Big Game Sweepstakes, where you can win a grand prize of two tickets to Super Bowl 59 in New Orleans or $10,000 cash. And what's more, Zen Sports is also offering 50 additional prizes, which include two tickets to any Tennessee sporting event or $100 cash. If you want in on the action, you can earn multiple entries every day by just betting on the Zen Sports app. For every bet you place, you'll earn one entry, and for every dollar you bet, earn an additional entry. If you like parlays, you can earn double the entries on every parlay placed. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for Zen Sports today, and you'll automatically earn a $100 no-danger first wager. If your first bet loses, you'll be reimbursed for the amount of your bet up to $100. Also, you can sign up using my referral code, Jeff, T-N, J-E-F-F-T-N, and receive a 25% odds boost when you sign up using the promo code. Start betting with Zen Sports. Download the app today. Zen Sports, betting just got better. If you got a gambling problem, call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Let's get into the list. The Memphis Grizzlies. That's right. The Grizzlies are taking on Tim's beloved Washington Wizards tonight.
My favorite team.
They feel like they just get absolutely no traction in D.C., and I'm not saying that that's not earned.
They are the most irrelevant sports franchise in the nation. I think they are a top five irrelevant major four franchise.
I was trying to think, is there another city where they have the NBA and they have hockey and hockey is clearly in front of the NBA.
Like outside of Toronto?
Yeah. That's a good example, but I was thinking more of America. Yeah.
You know what would be fascinating? We don't have an NBA franchise, but if we ever do get an NBA franchise here in Vegas.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, because at first
Golden Knights are the you know what, like, people freaking love that franchise. It helps that you went to the Stanley Cup year one and you won the Stanley Cup a couple of years ago. Let's see.
Because I don't think any of the New York teams, right?
No. I mean, the Rangers.
Rangers maybe ahead of the Nets.
Yeah. But the Knicks are always going to run that town. Sixers are going to be ahead of the Flyers. Nuggets just won a championship, so they're not going to be ahead behind the Avalanche.
Avs, yeah.
Maybe in Utah, because you've got a new franchise there? And the Jazz are just horrendous.
The Jazz are horrendous, but like the Jazz are kind of like what put them on the map for being a professional team. So there's that. I think right now,
do people in Atlanta still cheer for the Thrashers?
No chance.
No. Okay. No. Yeah. I think you're onto something. Like, what about? I mean, the Red Wings are a little down right now, but like, what about the Red Wings and the Pistons? Or I would say, with Bedard being in Chicago, I would imagine the Bulls, they're...
Well, and everybody's just so out on Reinsdorf.
Yeah, so maybe the Blackhawks with a, you know, you've got one of the young superstars in the game. But in Washington, it's a no-doubter. It's the Caps ahead of the Wizards. The weird thing about that city is, it's not weird. It's, I mean, it's football number one. But it's been a franchise up until this year that's just been beaten down for three decades. The baseball team gets traction, but they stink right now. So, yeah, I mean, it's all football all the time in that city currently.
So, tonight, I think the Grizzlies currently 7.5-point favorites. No Ja Morant. It's announced as hip soreness. I think we knew when Ja came out of the game on Wednesday night, and the game was still in doubt and not to return. I thought this would be a game he'd be sitting out. The Grizzlies will hit the road for a quick three-game West Coast road trip next week. I mean, I don't know. Like, to me, it's like last week, if you would have asked me what would be a must-win for the Grizzlies, it's like the Wednesday night game with the Nets coming in off an overtime loss, like whatnot. The reality is this team just doesn't shoot well enough for you to go, well, everything's an automatic W. I mean, Washington's sitting here at 2-4.
They're kind of feisty because
they play hard.
They're too dumb to know that they suck.
Yeah.
And what I mean,
and the
by
season
dumb,
hasn't like the season. Hasn't
what I mean by
dumb
is they're young. Yeah. Like, you know, you've got two rookies that are your two of your best players and Sar and Bub Carrington. You know, it's actually a fun game for rookie of the year discussion. I know Ricochet just had a big one for Atlanta. I think he's emerged now as the favorite. But like you've got Edie and then you've got Carrington and Sar,
yeah,
that are in the discussion for what is going to be an absolutely wide open rookie of the year discussion. But look, Washington stinks and Memphis should win this game even without Ja. And the point spread's telling you that at 7. They've got two wins, much to my chagrin. I bet under their season win total. So, yeah, but Washington's kind of one of those weird teams where, you know, you look around, you're like, oh, yeah, that guy's on that squad. He's not terrible. I mean, they have Valanciunas. They have, you know, they still have Kyle Kuzma before he gets traded. Bilal Coulibaly's actually pretty good. The kid from France that they drafted in the first round a year ago. So, I mean, they're not
Poole's
tragic.
Poole's also an elite shot taker.
Yeah, they're not tragically terrible, which I was hoping for, but this is a game, obviously, you should win.
Yeah, I'm with you. You can hear pregame at 6:30 tonight on 92.9 FM ESPN. Tip off with Eric at 7 p.m.
And by the way, I misspoke. Kyle Kuzma out.
Kuzma's out.
Okay. Yeah, he's out.
Thursday Night Football. Okay, so a couple of things. I'm of two minds here. I understand why Zach Taylor is taking up for Joe on the face masks that weren't called, whatnot. I just think we've jumped the shark on all the blaming of the refs. And do I think these, like, if they call the holding on the 2-point play, okay, fine. Joe wasn't going with the ball there anyway. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think we do the whole blaming of the refs, and I get it, it's human nature, but all I kept thinking about was, man, if Chase Brown doesn't fumble, like, they win that game walking away. And I get it, Lamar makes a great run, but it's like, that was horrific tackling, like, on the sideline. And then the Tylan Wallace one, like, that was just the classic, the safety thought that the corner was going to make the tackle, and he didn't make the tackle. It's like, I think the Bengals did more to lose the game than the officials did.
You didn't even mention
the third and two going deep, and then fourth and two going deep. I had it pulled up because there was one night on the Manning cast that you weren't watching, and Belichick had such like a dry line that I was like, it's perfect. Oh, third and one, throw the ball 25 yards down the field. That's good offense. It was just like, I was cool. Like, that thing is like, they took the first shot to Jamar. That's fine. On third and short, that suggested you're going for it on fourth down. You're taking the shot. That's fine. But then when they came back and they threw it to Burton on the opposite end, I was like, what are we doing here?
Look, if I should screenshot and show it to you, because both myself and my co-host last night, Matt Eumanns, had Bengals plus six.
Felt bad. Our midday guy, he came in and he's like, I think Baltimore's got to be the bet. And I was like, I don't know, man. I really like the Bengals. And then he told me he took the Bengals. And I was just like, it's one thing for me to lose, but when I tell somebody to take something and I lose, then I feel disastrous.
It is true. There's something about you losing money that you're okay with, but if people tail you, you feel worse.
Yes.
And I was like, this, it's going to happen. Once Lamar scored that 2-point conversion to make it 28-21, I was like, yep, I'm losing this bet.
Yeah, because when Tucker missed the field goal, I was like, ooh.
Extra point.
And then I did the math immediately. I was like, oh, wait, no, I know exactly how this is going to go. This is going to come down to a 2-point play.
Well, and I just looked at, I mean, it's simple math and it's science. When you bet on a team and you need a 2-point conversion,
you will never
cover,
get it.
You'll never get it.
Science.
Looking at you Giants against the Commanders
this
past weekend.
I had it twice.
Teaser and then home, when you're looking to bet against a team and they're going for two, they're going to get it.
Every time.
Every single time. But we got there. We got to cover town. That was fine. But I'm getting to the point, too, with the Bengals where I'm like, you know, we do this every week. We're like, you know, Cincinnati, if they get hot, they can make a run. And then I'm like, they're 4-6. They've lost to the Patriots. The Commanders' loss certainly has aged very well. They've gotten swept now by the Ravens in both brutal fashion. They got their ass kicked by the Eagles at home. Like, I look at the schedule and I'm like, Chargers, Sunday Night Football, that's going to be a challenge because they're going to make you work for it. Steelers off a bye. Cowboys, who knows what they're going to be on a Monday night. I mean, it's certainly not crazy to envision this team making the playoffs, but man, they tried hard to lose that game last night.
Yeah, I had in my mind, though, this team reminds me of last year's Bills team.
Ooh,
in which
I had such a good ticket on the Bills to win the Super Bowl.
Well, like,
they were 6-6. I remember it was right before. It was middle of December. They blew
the Philly game. Oh my God.
I'm not over that one.
Me still. Either.
I do one of the contests here in town. You got to pick games against the spread. And I still remember the text I got from my partner, who I will never let him live it down. At least we got the Bills right. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
And there's, because I remember we were both on the same side that weekend. And like, that was in the midst of like losing every other bet. And then when you're losing every bet and someone's like, well, at least we got a winner here, it's just like, how dare you?
Why would you ever say something like that? I'm looking back up that weekend because, yeah, I had a pretty bad college weekend, and then
It was that Thanksgiving weekend? I think that was Thanksgiving weekend.
It was Thanksgiving weekend.
It was like week 12. My wife was laughing.
Yeah, it was week 12. It wasn't that bad of a college weekend.
My wife was laughing. I think I just had a bad NFL Sunday.
Yeah.
My wife was laughing at me because on her, like, whatever, she, like, the memories, there, our stadium swim day came up, and she was showing the picture. She's like, oh, man, 2 years ago, we were here, like, having a great time. And all I was doing was like, yeah, on the left corner, you could see the Lions. Go, that's the only bet I won in the early window. I was like, I could, like, go through all of the games that day, and she's like, you are Rain Man. She's like, how on earth do you remember that? I was like, the gamblers know.
Yeah, they do. But, yeah, I mean, I could certainly be talked into it. And I'll say this on the flip side.
Well, here would be my argument.
Yeah.
So my wife is a Bills fan. And that was also that day I was telling you, that was when they lost to the Jets when Josh had needed Tommy John surgery. And he just kept throwing it to the Jets. One of the many times he just kept throwing it to the Jets. But when you watch the Bengals down to down, you're left going, they're a pretty good team. But they just always do, like, they make losing plays. Not winning plays, they make losing plays. But the key difference for me when you're comparing them to the Bills never dip below 500. Like, they got, the worst they got was after that loss to 6-6.
Yep.
And now you just keep wondering, what do you think is the, and the what do you think the minimum it's going to take to get into the playoffs?
Well, and here's the difference, too. The Bills
had the division still.
Won the division, right? You're not winning this division. The Bengals have, last night, it's over. The Ravens have now the season series over you. The Steelers are still ahead of you. So you need to make it as a wild card, which, look, they made it as a wild card. Right when they went to the Super Bowl.
They won the division, but they went on the road.
They beat Kansas City on the road. Got it. So my question about the Bengals, because I do want to talk about the Ravens a little bit too, is, like, Burrow was just getting hammered every single play, it felt like. And he's a tough you-know-what.
Yes, he is.
He stood in there and he...
He's a legitimate psychopath, and I love him.
They just want to never run the football? Is it because Orlando Brown was out? Like, they were winning 21-7. And I know Chase Brown fumbles the ball and it changes the whole game. Like, they just refuse to run the football.
I think it's because what he does best is everything is RPO. And I think for Joe, most of the time, the R is very much optional. Like, the other thing is, while I love Joe, Joe does love to hold on to the football and let it rip.
Yeah, he does.
And, I mean, he hits big plays.
That touchdown pass.
Well, that was the only thing I was mad at. I was like, he scored too soon. Oh, the one that was over two defenders?
Over two defenders.
Yeah, that was
right
insane.
Into the hands of Jamar Chase in the back of the end zone. I'm like, how does that even happen? By the way, anyone out there who had Jamar Chase on their fantasy team, congratulations on your Week 10 win.
I did have Burrow last night. one of my buddies has Burrow and Chase in another league. I think it was like 85 points between the two of them. It was like, it's like he literally, like, he can take donuts. It's
just like you just bench the rest of your team.
Yeah, like, literally, and you can still win. I think the other thing, though, is part of the Bengals' problem is, I think you have to say it's like bad ownership. You know, in the end, Mike Brown is very cheap. They, you know, like, they paid Burrow, but they didn't pay anyone else. Like,
they haven't paid Chase yet, right?
Have not paid Chase. They couldn't come to an agreement. And basically, it was like they wouldn't pay Chase because Mike Brown, who's not really super involved, he's like, he just doesn't believe in paying a guy a year soon. And it's like, oh my God, dude. And, like, that's just, I feel like that just kind of leaks into it. You know what I mean? Like, I know they're banged up on the offensive line, but, like, I think
they didn't have T. Higgins last night.
But it's like, you know, like, is T kind of like quiet quitting? Because they wouldn't pay him either.
Right.
Like, that's the other thing about, like, the Ravens. Like, I don't think that year Lamar, like, when he didn't get his deal, like, I also think it's different because Lamar didn't have an agent and that thing would have gotten sorted out if he did. But, like, I do think Lamar was kind of incentivized to just kind of chill on the sideline.
What do we make of the Ravens? Because I know a lot of people here in Vegas that have them as the highest power-rated team in the league. Their defense is leaky. Now, Hamilton, it looks like, avoided the worst. They're calling it just an ankle sprain.
Yeah, but I mean, good God.
That looked bad.
I mean, that secondary.
They got torched.
It wasn't just that Jamar, like Jamar's put up like 500 yards against them. But like my thing is, you know, when you get into the AFC playoffs, you're going to either play Kansas City, Buffalo, perhaps the Bengals again. And one of the, like, I just think that, like, when your secondary is that weak, like, a passing game's just going to get them. And there's, like, that's the other thing about last night. It wasn't until the fumble that they even could get anything going offensively.
Yeah, Derrick Henry didn't really get going either. He was pretty much bottled up for the whole game. But I do think you look at that game and the Ravens found a way to win. Zay Flowers didn't really do anything. He's been incredible these last couple of weeks. Derrick Henry didn't really do anything for his standards. And Deontay Johnson is still fresh in that system. They've got a lot of weapons. And, like, Lamar is, and I know the playoff track record, but, man, that dude's the betting favorite right now to win MVP again.
Yeah, I still think, though, it's going to come down to, and I'm going to pay to see it, when you get into the playoffs and you get to every other team is good, they are able to make, like, they are going to make him have to beat him with his arm, and he's never proven he can do it.
Now, what I would say is he's never had Derrick Henry.
He has not, but I mean, that's the other thing last year. It's like they refuse to run the ball in those situations. It's
that
like teams true. Dare him to, teams yeah. dare him to throw, and they're like, we oblige. Whereas, like, that's the one thing that I really love about the Lions. Like, even if the look is not a great run look, they go, we're still running it. It's kind of that vintage David Shaw when he had Christian McCaffrey. It's like, yeah, you've got 11 in the box, like, whatever. You've got nine guys versus our seven. Our seven are better. We're still going to run the ball.
I think this weekend, I'm very curious about the Chiefs. The Broncos are coming off of that just obliteration at the hands of the Ravens. Chiefs, short week. I don't really believe in situational spots in the NFL. That said, they get the Bills next week. The Chiefs do, which is become a massive rivalry. I think the Broncos are competitive against the Chiefs. Everyone seems to be competitive against the Chiefs.
Well, and I think they played them tough twice last year. The defense is pretty good. All right, let's turn our attention back to college football. We come back, we'll do our cards, talk about what we are most looking forward to. We'll do that next right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Tim, we got a big weekend of college football. What do you got on the card?
Whew. All right, let's plug the nose.
Yeah, no, this is either going to be like, oh, yeah, we're geniuses. I feel like it's another. I'm setting up for like an 11-0 weekend or like an 0-11.
Yeah, I'll run through it. Give a quick explanation here on a couple of these. Boston College money line. Situational spot galore. Boston College off a bye week, 15 days in totality because they played last on a Friday night. Castellanos, by the way, the quarterback for BCU with Tom Brenneman on the call.
Yes.
Just mentioning that.
Deep drive to left.
Yeah. Syracuse coming off of a pull out of your behind victory a week ago against Virginia Tech, winning in overtime. Got to bowl eligibility. So I think this is a tricky spot for them. Noon start time, giving Boston College money line. This one I'm not crazy about, but I like San Jose State catching 3 on the road at Oregon State. Both these teams coming off byes. San Jose State, year one of my guy, Coach Ken Niumatalolo. Bowl game would be great for them, especially with the turnover they had in their roster. They're 5-3. Next opponent, Boise State. Next opponent, UNLV. Then they play Stanford. They're going to want this one to get the bowl eligibility. Talked about it already. I'm on Utah. Yes, Utah's been bad this year. There's no doubt. I think that line is stinky poo. And I just, in my mind, late night game, you know, elevation not going to be a factor because BYU obviously plays in elevation as well. But knowing this kind of feels like the Super Bowl now for Utah to ruin BYU's season. By the way, this is the first time this year that Utah's been a dog. As disappointing as they've been, 4-4, 2-6 against the spread, I think Utah wins this game outright against BYU. BYU, very fortunate to beat Oklahoma State a couple weeks ago. I was on the dead wrong side of the UCF game, but I think this is a tricky spot for them to be a road favorite at Utah. I took a little Kansas, +3. I don't love the spot as much as I would have liked it if Iowa State had beaten Texas Tech a week
held
ago.
On.
So I was kind of hoping that Texas Tech would win that game, Iowa State would win that game. But I do like Kansas. This team has been crazily snake bit with close games. I think they're like 1-5 or 0-5 maybe in one possession games this year. This is not a home game. Just keep that in mind. It is at Arrowhead. And from what I've been told, over 20,000 Iowa State fans are going to be there. Iowa State fans.
They travel, man. We've had them at the Liberty Bowl a couple of times. They travel, and man, do they love Busch Light.
They love Busch Light. So there is going to be a whole lot of Iowa State fans there, but I do like Kansas. All right, I'll run through these a little quicker. I took UVA +7.5. Pitt's a fraud coming off their first loss of the season. I also think it's a little bit of a sandwich spot for Pitt coming off the SMU game. They have Clemson next week. UVA coming off of a brutal stretch. Now they've got a bye week heading into this game. I think UVA's feisty. North Texas, we've missed the number. Bryson Daly, more than likely not get a play for Army. Their starting quarterback, Army's backup, was not very impressive. North Texas, by far the best offense that Army will face all year. North Texas, however, as you've seen if you watch the Memphis game,
they do not play defense.
Defense is terrible. They are coming off a bye, for whatever that's worth. I am on LSU +3, and then I can't not take Hawaii +13 against UNLV on the island late night.
All right, so there's a... All right, I'm holding my nose. What if Texas is just kind of overrated?
All right, my caveat to this is maybe a little conspiracy theory. Knowing that Lagway's not going to play.
Well, didn't they say, I think there's still a chance. But
I don't believe it.
I don't either. Like,
Ron Burgundy, I don't believe you.
I don't believe you.
They're going to start a Yale transfer.
Yes. He's a third-generation Gator, though. Did you not hear Billy at halftime?
Man, how bad is Clay Millen that he can't beat out a Yale transfer, the Colorado State former quarterback, who I was like, oh, this guy's going to be good. And he got like benched week one last year. Then you've got the Sun Belt Billy, vow of confidence, whatever.
You don't think that's going to inspire the boys?
I think they get absolutely destroyed. But I have not bet this game, so I'm pulling for you.
So here's the other fun fact. SEC underdogs of 20 points or more, 7-0 against the number.
SEC underdogs in general, 29-13 this year?
Indeed.
ATS.
This is the classic, like, I don't know. You're giving me you're giving me three touchdowns plus a point and a hook. Like, all right, I'll bite. I'm betting that Kane's King is playing. And this is one of those ones where we can get to tomorrow, and I just know that I'm sitting there with a loser. I'm taking Georgia Tech. Give me the 11.
I like the play, man. I think Georgia Tech could win this game outright. I am a skeptic of Miami. Maybe I need to get over my Mario Cristobal is going to screw things up. He tried to against Cal. He just got bailed out by a couple of things, his quarterback being one, that Cam Ward betting against him is not fun, but... If Haynes King plays, I'm with you, man. I think this would have been one of my best bets of the weekend if I knew Haynes King was healthy.
Also, Georgia Tech, they run a style of the air raid, and so Brent Key is going to know how to like scheme this up, like on defense. Like I think that they'll have a decent plan. My gross game that you're going to have to probably go find on ESPN Plus. I'll take 9 points with Louisiana Monroe at home. Like, they're pretty good defensively. They run a very, very slow tempo. Like, I'll take the points. Give it to me in the Sun Belt. I'm going to do it. Colorado's, I think, like one of the biggest favorites of the week. Tech gets Morton back. They've been better. Give me 4.5 at home.
So
it's terrifying.
This goes into what I said about the Iowa State game. Texas Tech winning that game messed up a bunch of things for me because I would have been all over Kansas against Iowa State, and we probably would have got a slightly better number. And I would have loved Texas Tech if they did not win that game. Colorado coming off a bye, I don't disagree with you, though. You know, Texas Tech, sneaky good this year. Taj Brooks, probably one of the best running backs no one talks about, over 100 yards a game, over 100 yards in every game this year. And you said it, Morton's back. Yeah, I've been tempted to look at Texas Tech here, catching 4.5.
Is Ole Miss Alabama?
What are you doing with it?
I mean, answer the question. Is Ole Miss Alabama?
Oh, is Ole Miss Alabama? I don't know what you mean by that.
That's Georgia literally only loses to Alabama.
Oh.
I mean, I will say this. This is the play that I have the least confidence in this whole week, because I think almost every book out there has said they need Ole Miss to win. And the line is not really moving. I mean, but even at Circa, right, it's still 2.5.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, I've talked to some sharp people this week that really like Ole Miss. North, they played it north of 3, so at this point they're not playing it. It's 2.5. So what it's telling you, and this is, I think I've told you this on this show before.
When it's 2.5, take the dog.
Chris Andrews from the South Point he's a longtime Hall of Fame odds maker. Look him up on social media. He's awesome. I love Chris. And he told me, he's like, it doesn't make sense, but when the number's 2.5, the dog's the right side. And when the number's 3.5, the favorite's the right side. He's like, look, doesn't always come home that way. But what he's telling you is that sharp guys have clearly played it at 3 down to 2.5, and they played it at 3 up to 3.5. That makes sense. So,
yep.
I haven't played that game. I think my initial inclination was Georgia, just because I trust them and I don't trust Lane. But it kind of feels like a, you know, Taylor Twellman type of moment. Like, what are we doing? If you can't, you've got a vulnerable Georgia team. They're not perfect. We've seen that. They almost 100%. They almost lost to Kentucky. They were absolute dog crap in the first half against Alabama. Mississippi State was moving the ball with ease all over them. Shouts to the Van Buren boys, put up the 8 fingers. I don't blame you, man. If you want to take Ole Miss, I'm staying off of it. LSU, by the way, since we've been on the air, the 3s are all gone.
Yeah, I'm taking Georgia, but like it scares me because it's like the most public play.
Kirby Smart, 29-15 ATS against ranked teams.
Honestly,
ask you about this real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
The injury report.
Yeah,
gamesmanship.
It's Lane. Lane, yeah. When Lane thinks a rule's dumb, and this is the other thing. With college football becoming clearly the number two gambling sport, like, we've got to get the injury report. Like, that thing's got to be done. Like, in the end, the NFL, you've got the practice report, who participated, whatnot, and you got the injury report. And if you mess with the injury report like the Bengals did last year, like, you pay the price. Like, it has to happen in college. And right now, it's just too much of a joke. I'm loyal to a fault. Diego's catching points again, even though I know it's wrong. I'm taking it.
I played the under in this game. I didn't give it out here because the numbers moved too much for me to talk. I just think this is...
I was afraid that they are out of gas.
I was able to get 47 earlier this week. I like South Carolina. Another situation, though, where they're coming off of an enormous win, and they rushed the field. I think I would have bet against both of these teams this week. So that's why I took under. I trust South Carolina's defense to get after Diego. Diego's not healthy. Vanderbilt's now bowl eligible. You know, this team, once again, 6-0 against the spread as an underdog this year, covering by, I believe, 19 points per game in those underdog roles, 4 outright wins. Diego as a dog going back to last year, 11-2-1 ATS, and he didn't finish one of those games. That was the CUSA championship against Liberty. So, look, the dude covers, but there's a reason the number got bet up to 6.5 today. Money was coming in on South Carolina today, so... I don't blame you. It's been a cash cow. It's kind of like Indiana. We haven't even talked about Indiana. We talked about, I guess, a little bit in the open there with what double-digit dog could win. Like, Indiana just covers. Vanderbilt just covers as a dog. So I'm not going to blame anyone for taking the points. I'm staying away. Played a little under, and that's what I'm going
to
do with
it. It's
that
mainly
one.
Just blind loyalty. It's like, he's been so good to me. I'm going to keep doing it. This is one I shouldn't have bet, but that's just the way that it goes. It's you know, you've got to sometimes – You got to put your money where your mouth is. Give me 24.5 with Mississippi State. Same thing that we've talked about. Underdogs of 20 or more.
Look ahead spot two. Tennessee gets Georgia next week.
And
Mississippi State, by the way, in these roles, you were right a couple weeks ago. I bet Mississippi State where they
Arkansas.
Were like, a touchdown dog at home. And you're like, I don't know about that. And you were right on. But think about what they did against Texas, only lost by 22, covered that number. Georgia, they were a massive dog. They covered that number. Texas A&M, they covered against Texas A&M. They have played well against better competition. So I haven't added that one yet, but I could certainly get on board with Mississippi State, especially too with Tennessee maybe peeking ahead to a huge game against Georgia next week.
So the only one we're opposite on is I took Bama. I just think they're better. And,
well, I mean, I hope you didn't lay 3 because you can get 2.5.
No, I got 2.5.
Yeah, so I'm at 3. I guess in theory I could push and you could win.
Yeah, a little 3-point win. And then I'm gambling. I don't think Brady Cook's healthy. And when you watch Missouri without Brady Cook, they are awful.
Drew Pine is terrible.
They are terrible. I think Oklahoma might kind of get like some like false confidence. I think going back to Jackson Arnold was clearly the right move. The defense is still good. I'm going to lay 2.5.
Yeah, I mean, that offense without Brady Cook is horrendous.
They are awful.
By the way, looking at tonight's slate, obviously Memphis plays tonight. I'm curious about this one because Rice got the old fired coach bump last
yep.
week. Won outright, weird game, 5-6 hour delay. They dominated Navy. I know Navy's coach came out and complained about the field conditions, but where's Memphis's head at right now?
There's a reason why. There's a reason why it's not on the card.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, that one's kind of fishy, looking at that line. We've seen some decent movement. That opened at circa 13. It's down to 7. So that's a massive move in favor of Rice. I'll give you one. I'm not going to bet it because I'm pretty heavily invested on it. Iowa-UCLA tonight.
Yeah.
From the preseason, two of my favorite win totals. Iowa over 7.5. UCLA under 5.5. I need the boys of Iowa City to go in there and get this dub. I think UCLA is playing better football, and if they win tonight as a 6.5-point dog, and we've talked about Friday night dogs barking, ooh, buddy, that could be a little sweat for your boy on that win total. So I need the Hawkeyes to win it. They're 6.5-point favorites, trending towards 7, which makes me feel a little bit better. But I need Caleb Johnson to run all over UCLA tonight.
Oh, the other reason why I'm taking Bama, I think the bringing in the fake Tiger, that's a move. You don't get rewarded. If you're not going to put Mike the Tiger on the sideline and you're going to bring in a Mike imposter, like that's Mickey Mouse.
Who's the better head coach?
I think DeBoer. You can't really. They both are very similar. They both won everywhere they've been.
Yep. And I mean, Brian Kelly's done it longer. However, Kalen DeBoer was able to win massive games a year ago. They beat Texas to get to the championship. Right.
He's 12-1 also in November as a FBS head coach.
Yeah. So I don't know what the answer is to that question.
I don't either. All right, let's hit the music, Dennis, because I wanted to make sure we got that one note in. All right, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story, Paul George saying the Clippers fans were stupid to boo him. Like, they don't get it, man. Like, they didn't offer him a no-trade clause. You left. You could have. You had a contract. You made a business decision. That's fine. You're entitled to that. That's what fans do. You left them.
What'd you expect? Hey, Paul George, welcome back.
I think that's the
You didn't win anything.
I think that's the biggest disconnect in sports now, when the players don't get, like, hey, man, the reason we care is the reason why you get to make all the money.
Yeah, I don't. Paul George, you deserve to get booed. That is for sure. Hey, Grizzlies, your boy needs that win over the Wizards. Already two wins for the Wizards. We need a win tonight here.
All right, my man. Good luck to you this weekend.
All right. Talk to you Tuesday.
That is, of course, Tim Murray. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Tim, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.